So our text this morning comes to us again from the letter to the Ephesians, reading this week in the second chapter. And I left you off last week right at the beginning of the second chapter with this reminder that in God's abundant love, God has created and planned for us wonderful things and called us together to do the work of God in the world. So God has planned these things for us and started these things in us, and our job is to continue on in the work and the ministry of Christ. So this is the way the letter continues this morning. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision, by those who were called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances so that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of two, and thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access to the Spirit, to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but are citizens and are with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This text sometimes is a little bit harder for us to get, but my hope is I'll make some sense of it for you. But let us begin with the word of prayer. Great and holy God, we give you thanks that you have called us from far off to come close. Help us now to understand what that closeness to you means, not only for our relationship with you, but our relationship with each other. We pray this in Jesus Christ. Amen. So what I think makes this difficult is all this conversation about circumcised and uncircumcised and Jews and Gentiles, because we really don't use the language much anymore to talk about people, right? We do still divide people up into groups, and we have other ways of speaking of them, Christian, non-Christian, right? Black and white, immigrant or alien, and, you know, I don't know what we call ourselves, citizens then, right? So we still do this work of divvying it up. It's just not based on circumcision, and it's not necessarily based on whether you're inside or outside of the Commonwealth of Israel anymore. But as people want to do, we still see reason to create barriers and boundaries and walls to keep some in and others out, right? And I think what this text is about was not just about Jews and Gentiles and that early church was trying to figure out who was in and who was out. It's about the whole world and this tendencies of ours to put people on the outside and us on the inside, right? I mean, that's the way it works. When we're building walls, we want to be the protected ones, right? We want to be the insiders. When I've been to the training for anti-racism, they do an exercise with you about insiders and outsiders. And on the inside circle is everybody that's good and right and normal. And the people on the outside are the ones who are obviously bad, not normal, not good, and not right. And the problem is that boundary sometimes changes depending upon who we want in and who we want out, right? And the difficulty is not that we want to try to bring everybody in or that we want to push those other people out. The challenge is we want to break down the boundary. We want to break down the wall, that thing that separates us. And the writer to the Ephesians is saying that's already been done for us in Jesus Christ. When we are reconciled to God, then we are called to be reconciled to all of God's children. Now, the difficulty, I think, with the text for us is we're the insiders, so we don't remember the time when we were outsiders, right? Many of us grew up in the church. We don't even remember that time when we really chose to be Christians because we were Christians since we've been kids, right? How many of you feel like you've been a Christian all your life? Okay. Some of others may have come to that later on, but we're on the inside now, right? But Paul is inviting us to remember when we were not on the inside. So I'm wondering if you can conjure up in your head an occasion when you were the outsider, when you were the other. You only have to go to second or third grade to remember an occasion, right? When all the cool kids sat over here and you ended up sitting here, right? Or perhaps everybody else was, you know, picked to play, had a partner, and somehow you're the odd one out without a partner. Do you all remember that feeling? Can you think of other times in your life where that was the case? Maybe at work when you weren't included with the gang that went out to lunch together? Or more importantly, when you were not included with the folks that were moved up and got promotions, you were the one left behind? Maybe you remember it at church, being the outsider. When everybody else is standing in little groups at the coffee, and you're kind of standing over at the side thinking, what the heck? Nobody comes to you. You know, you have to make that move to pick a group, and I don't know about you, it's always hard to kind of enter into a group that's already having a conversation, already knows each other. Do you remember the feelings? Right? The feelings of not being worthy, the feelings of anger for being left out, the feelings of hurt that go when you're not chosen. The writer to Ephesians reminds us we were all on the outside at one time. We have all been the other at some point in our life. We know what it is when barriers have been put up to keep us out. The difficulty for us today is sometimes we forget that. And sometimes we forget that the churches have been about doing that for a long, long time. We put up buildings and we create memberships and, you know, we're the insiders. So the question today is not how do we get in, because we're in, right? We're in because we have been reconciled to God and Jesus Christ, and so we are in. The question is why and how do we break down the walls that either keep others out or give others the impression that they're not in? That they're the other, that they're unwanted or not good or not right or not normal. I think about the work and the history of gay and lesbian people in the Christian church who have felt like they've been on the outside for a long, long time, and now they're starting to get inside a little bit, but it's still awkward. We're not quite there yet, right? We're not quite to that place where everybody's comfortable with that. We still want to hold the boundaries a little bit. You're welcome, but you can't be in leadership. Or you can be a leader, but you can't get a job over here. Right? But there are other groups, too, that the church holds outside. The mentally ill, if you're really mentally ill, you know, meaning not just a little bit, not just have a little depression or a little bipolar, but if you're really one of those crazy people who has schizophrenia or whatever, we got to protect ourselves against that. We've got to make sure that the people that are in are safe, and so we're not quite so easily willing to bring them in. The homeless, you say, but we bring the homeless in. Downstairs. It's a little harder for us to bring them upstairs. So all I'm saying is, as a church, we continue to wrestle with this insider-outsider kind of thinking. Who is welcome and who is not? And more importantly, how do we let them know they're welcome? How do we break down the walls that separate them from us? Truth and Reconciliation is the name that was given to the committee in South Africa to help right the wrongs that took place under apartheid. Communities were brought together, both the perpetrators and the victims. And what they had to do first was speak the truth about the separation, about the violence, about the damage that was done. There was no reconciliation until the truth was spoken. Because many of these people who were victims or who had been their family had been victimized didn't even know what happened to them. Can you imagine not knowing what happened to your child? Where they were buried? Why they died? So the truth was necessary for these people to move on. But the brilliance of this truth and reconciliation, the wonder or miracle of it was that once the truth was told, then they were invited to move towards working together. Not punishment, not revenge, not putting those people out of the community, but finding a way to become the community reconciled, to become one community again. And it happened. It happened because there was forgiveness. It happened because the truth was told. The church has to start telling the truth about who is in and who is out. We have to start to recognize the places where we have built up barriers that keep people on the outside. We have to risk a little in order to let people in. We have to talk about things that make us uncomfortable, like race, in order to start poking holes in those walls that separate us. How many of you have big gatherings at Thanksgiving at your house? Now, how many get to control who gets invited to the dinner? Sometimes I do, but I lived with Amy and her sister Deanne, who, whenever we were saying we were having Thanksgiving, they would gather up anybody who didn't have a place to go to come to our Thanksgiving, which is usually hosted at our house. Now, I'm kind of the person that likes just the family there. You know, for one thing, they fit around the table. For two, I know we're not going to get into any conversations that are going to cause discord or discomfort in any way. And three, I like the food they bring. I know what they're going to bring, and I'm happy with that, right? But here are Amy and Deanne constantly inviting people who they work with or they know through another group or organization to come and eat with us. And I'll tell you what, that just creates challenges. First of all, we have to figure out how to get them around the table. Right? And some years that has meant not only the extensions in the table and another table next to that, but also a table that's going the other way in the living room. And then, of course, you've got to find enough chairs, which means sometimes people are sitting on the couch and others are sitting on stools. And, you know, it gets chaotic. And then you have to figure out how you pass the food. You know, because it starts at one table and it moves it around, but if you didn't get it at this time, it may not come back for a while. I mean, there's a lot of kind of reaching and tossing and, you know, passing things around. And then the conversation sometimes goes to uncomfortable places. Like, why aren't you home with your family? Why are you by yourself this year? You know? Or worse yet, you know, somebody throws out something political or religious and then, you know, it can go all sorts of ways, right? There's a discomfort about that. But when I think about this call in Ephesians to create this new humanity, I think about that table that's extended out into the living room and around the corner with people sitting on the couches and stools. You know, there's always somebody scooting up. They're kind of sitting with the food on their lap, but they've got their drink on the table. But I think God is inviting us to extend that table, even if it means, you know, breaking down a wall and moving into the living room, even if it means, you know, breaking down the barriers of conversation, what's, you know, acceptable conversation, even if it means occasionally talking about things that make us uncomfortable, God is inviting us to extend the table. To extend this table. The table where Christ gathers us around to be fed and forgiven. Now, some will say, oh, so you mean everybody needs to become a Christian? That's what you're talking about. We need to go out there and evangelize and make everybody a Christian. And that would be a good idea. I mean, I'm okay with that. But that's not what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about the new humanity, I'm talking about everybody having a seat at the table, and that might be Jew and Gentile, and that might be black and white, and that might be young and old, and that might be insiders and outsiders, because we're not going to have any more outsiders, right? It also means that it's not about getting people to come to this table, but it's about taking the table out into the world. And I see you do that. I see you do that when you feed the people at PADS, when you give food to the food pantry, when you do Grace Cafe. There's the example I want. When you guys serve at Grace Cafe, there's no question about who's invited. Everyone's invited, right? Come with whatever, whether you need a meal or whether you need some company. Come because we have more than enough. Come because God has reconciled us in Jesus Christ and making us a new humanity and inviting us to be part of that new humanity that's not divided up into groups. It's not that there's not diversity or differences. It's just that those diversity and differences add to the table, right? So people bring interesting stuff to my table when we ask them to share. You know, every now and then you get a meal and you think, that's not really Thanksgiving. But it is for them. I saw the other day spaghetti. If you go to an Italian family, spaghetti is a Thanksgiving meal. Even if it's not your tradition, right? So, God has reconciled us to God's self through Jesus Christ. And in doing that, invites us to be reconciled with each other. Which means breaking down the walls and inviting everybody to the table. Even if it's a little uncomfortable. Even if it's a little challenging, even if it means we have to talk about hard stuff. Amen.